Greetings and welcome to the Cerebral Women Art Talks podcast. I'm Phyllis Hollis, your host. As an extension of my Instagram page, Cerebral Women, this podcast offers insights into the visual art world. I interview artists, mainly artists of color and female artists, who will freely articulate what inspires their creativity. In addition, you'll hear interesting perspectives from dedicated art professionals who work with artists and the art institutions that feature them. I'm confident that collectively, these individuals will indeed stimulate your mind as they do our eyes. Please know, these interviews are conducted in my Manhattan apartment, so please forgive the background sounds of city life. Welcome to the Cerebral Women Art Talks podcast. This episode features Peter Uka. Born in Nigeria, he lives and works in Cologne, Germany. He devises figurative paintings which draw from his childhood memories of Nigeria. With a classical training in realistic figuration, Peter combines various image references of time-specific objects with images from his memory to convey innate and timeless human emotion. Scenes of growing up in Nigeria, including elements like Afro hairstyles and bell-bottom jeans, bright mannerisms, and local customs, are captured in vibrant visual narrative. His compositions also capture international trends from the late 20th century and the ways globalization connects countries around the world. These narratives uncover historical precedents of globalization and dynamic cultural signifiers connecting two countries that Peter calls home, while reminding the rest of the world of collective reciprocity, closeness, and connection. His work has been shown at the Flag Art Foundation and is included in collections including the Dean Collection, Beth DeWoody's Collection, and the Long Museum, to name a few. He has had several solo and group exhibitions in the U.S. and abroad, and he is represented by the Marian Ibrahim Gallery. Enjoy this episode featuring Peter Uka, and please visit cerebralwomen.com for his expanded bio. Peter, thank you for joining me today. Let's start with, when did you discover your artistic passion?
I discovered at an early age, I think when I was about the age of 6 or 7. And it's true, I was just watching my father, who is self-taught artist, in the way he's passionate about his practice. That was how I picked interest in it, and watching him draw or go making sign posts for people or screen printing and things like that. So that was how I picked interest in art. And over the years, my passion just kind of built up more and more.
How would you define your practice?
I don't really define my practice. I don't really put it into any cluster because I've put out more painting in the last couple of years. And my practice is way broader than that. So this is the reason why I don't define it is in my studio. I could come into the studio space today and work on painting, and tomorrow I work on woodcuts or sculpture, or sometime I'm working on installation that the world haven't seen yet. But these are things that I do in the background. The thing that everybody know me for is painting. So I don't really define my practice in the sense of I don't really put any definition to it.
So I'm curious, within your practice, what aspect of it do you enjoy the most?
I just love every inch of it. It's easy to say that. I am fortunate to do something that I really dearly love. I'm turning it into my work. And so I enjoy just being in my studio, listening to music, and just working on the things that I love to do, like painting or sculpting or building a body of installation or just doing some prints work. I just enjoy doing every inch of it.
While you're working, do you think of who your audience is?
I normally don't. I think I'm my first audience. I don't think outside me at the time when I'm producing a work. I'm my number one audience. So I'm always like looking out from my view onto the world and how I feel about it. And when I finally put the brush down or put my tools down and look and said, okay, we're here. Means like, okay, I'm at that point where I'm satisfied with what I've done. Then I put it out to the world.
When do you know work is finished?
That's a very good one. I usually, when I felt like the tension leaves my shoulder and I kind of felt relaxed enough to look at it from all angle and see that I finally come to the point where I have expressed my initial or the final subject being brought to the surface the way I want it to be represented. If I finally achieve that, then I know, okay, I'm done.
And when do the titles of the work enter your creative process?
Sometimes at the beginning, when I'm mumbling things up in my head or when the idea is building up in my head, it already has a title sometimes. Sometimes it's at the end of the work itself, when all is done, that's when I sit back and watch that canvas and come up with a title for it. A title is never tied to a work because the original initial sketches could change as the work evolves. And until the work is done, no title is fixed.
Interesting. What is your process of choosing various colors?
Wow, that's a very interesting one. I'm a tropical person. And because I come from a tropical country, I am usually surrounded by vibrant colors. And so my color palette is close to what I know. And I express it from that perspective also. So my palette kind of taper towards bright, brilliant color. So my color palette choice, I like colors to complement each other. And when I can find something that balance, I just like to create balance, even in the midst of chaos. Yeah, chaos always has a balance. If anybody tells you it doesn't, it's a lie. There is a balance in between. Even when people like Pollock and the rest, if you look at their work carefully, even in the midst of that chaos, there is some sort of harmony, and that's the balance. And for me, I try to search for that point also. And when I finally get it, then the color, when I finally can harmonize this color, then I know, okay, yeah, I pick one and then I see what comes next to it and how they balance each other out. And when I figure that out, yeah, that's the process I go through. I don't have like a specific pattern to follow. I just pick one and I build from there.
Do you listen to music while you're working?
Oh, yes. Music is left, right, and center of my practice. I can't do without music. I listen to jazz. I listen to funk. I listen to old soul. I listen to a few of the modern music, a lot of old Nigerian high life music because I grew up in that. Just a mix of, let me not say Nigeria specifically, a mix of African high life music. So which is a broad collection of songs from predominantly Nigeria and Ghana and Cameroon and a few other African countries. Yeah. So I listen to that a lot while working.
How do you keep learning?
I learn from my mistakes. I just never stop learning. I learn by doing, by testing and trying things out. And I read and listen to other artists. I watch other artists' documentary also just to see what the principles and ideology that guides them to do what they do. So I'm still a student, very much a student.
Do you feel Black art can be defined?
That's a very interesting one. Defined? No, I don't think so. I think it's way bigger than definition. I don't think there is. Because when you use that word define, it means it can't be put in a box. It can't be categorized. And once anything that can be categorized can be put in a box. I believe that Black art is a form of expression, but it's not defined. It comes in various forms. So I don't know if it can be defined. I don't think so. I still stand to be correct if there is something like that. I don't think it can be. I think it's way bigger than that. Let me say this now. The reason why I go up to this point of saying Black art cannot be defined is if an artist of European descent does a work, how do you see that work? Do you see it as a white art? I think usually it's looked at as art. It's just looked at as art. It's not defined in any way. It's just, and we look at people like Picasso and that's even Gerhard Richter, who comes from my city here, Cologne also. their work are looked at as art. They're not defined in any way. So when an artist of African descent does a work, I don't think that work should be defined as a black art. I think it is art. It's just that we choose to make our presence known. And because we choose to make our presence, we choose to be heard, which we are at that point where we said, oh, we are also here. You need to know that we are here. It doesn't mean we have to be put in a box. I think our work transcends beyond being, have a definite label placed on us. I see that often and I hear it often, but I choose not to. As a form of expression doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be categorized as that. Every other artist of other descent does their work and they are not put in a box. But when it comes to us as Black people, we seem to always be put in a box. Particularly, there is a label on us all the time. I don't understand that. I don't really get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the reason I still go on about this, because now, you got me thinking. Really. Yeah, for real. When I look at things carefully, when I look at work, I always say, use the word, I try to understand the principle and ideology that govern the build up of other artists. 90% of the artists I've met, usually of European descent, is either their work is kind of slightly connected to some sort of their traditional methodology, or everybody pick something from somewhere that is connected to their culture in a way, but they are not labeled. But when we do what we do, we are kind of labeled. I'm not a big fan of that label. I don't think we should put in a box. I think we just want to be heard. In my own case, I want to be heard. I want people, I choose this method right now for people to see my experience, to know that, oh, when you take the Black figure in my work out, to take the African figure in my works out, this same experience, I've seen a lot of people who come to me who are of European descent or from other culture who experience almost similar thing like I did from my small African village. You get what I mean?
Yes.
And they go through that same thing. So that means that this thing is not tied to my culture alone. It is way bigger than that. So I just choose to express it from my perspective, from my viewpoint, and your viewpoint can see it different. Your viewpoint will see it from the African-American experience, and the people from the Scandinavian country, their viewpoint will see it from their Nordic experience, and other parts of the world, they see it different. So that's why I said art cannot be, it's not something that you kind of label and put into a box. It's art, and that's it. But the historian, I know people just label things different, but I just see it that way.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. If you weren't a visual artist, what career path do you think you would have taken?
I think I would still be. I certainly will be a visual artist. Yeah. I think I will, because I dump everything else just to do this.
Yeah.
And I do this because I love it. It's gave me peace. I just love doing what I'm doing now. So I don't see myself doing anything else. And like I said earlier, just for the fact that I'm able to live off it, it's a bonus.
Yes.
I love every inch of it. The feel of being in this space, doing the things that make me happy, it gives me peace. And it's a plus. I don't see myself doing anything else. Yeah.
So what does your workspace look and feel like?
Oh, it feels like what peace or what people, I think people would say, oh, I die and I go, I'm going to heaven. So to say, people say, yeah, like as a manner of speech. Yeah, it feels home. It's my second home. Or rather, in this case, I can say my third home. My workplace feels like home to me. I'm an old head, so I listen to vinyls a lot. Yeah, so and then I can move. Touch my brushes, and it gives me peace. It gives me peace at the same time. It is pure chaos. It's madness. It's chaos. I think, yeah, it's dirty. Everything is everywhere. I alone can figure out what's going on here. And for everybody else who work in here, I think a madman lives here, but I love the madness that comes with it. Yes.
That's wonderful. What do you feel is the purpose of art?
Oh, that's a very, that's a nice one. Yes, purpose of art. But I think certainly it is to bring people together. It's to connect people. It is a way for me to tell you, oh, please come and experience this with me. One look at life from my lenses. I get to welcome you to my space for you to have a small moment of what I have experienced. And maybe you might find some peace in it, or maybe you might find something that you connect with. From my perspective, yeah, that's the purpose of art.
Reaching back.
Yes.
How did your art professors impact you? And how do you feel they impacted the work you're doing today?
My art professors, yeah. Oh, boy. Okay, yeah. And now I can reflect back. Yeah, there are quite a few, I would say. My days of studying in Nigeria at the Yaba College of Technology, I remember very well my drawing. A couple of professors I had during for the drawings for my drawing classes and my life painting composition class, they grind me in the fundamentals, and the fundamentals kind of guide my practice. And for the fact that this becomes the ground root of my practice over the year, I think I'm grateful to them for that, for instilling that in my life. So people like Ulua Moda, people like Kolade Oshinowo, people like Peter Koko, and people like the late Mike Omoige, they had a great impact in my practice when I was in Nigeria. And then moving on to the Art Academy, Dusseldorf, and my encounter with Tal changed my perspective, or how do you say, my perception of what art really meant. And he imparted me in the idea of looking at the little things, the small things. And my encounter with my late professor, Eberhard Haverkos, who also helped me to narrow down, to focus on like the tiny angles, blowing them big and expressing them, was things I learned from him. My encounter with few other artists over time in the academy, also other professors who were not my professor directly, but artists who helped me evolve to where I am today. I'm very grateful to have met those people over time.
It's lovely. Are past memories reflected in your work?
Oh, yeah, very much. My work over the last couple of years, yeah, I've drawn from memory. Just for the fact that I moved away from home at a very young age, I have pulled from that a lot and built most of my work over the last couple of years on that. It's like my go-to point over the last few years.
What are you excited about right now?
Right now, I'm excited about being in this space in my studio now and getting a lot of material and knowing very well that I don't have any upcoming show, so to say. I'm not under any pressure. I'm taking my time to build a body of work. The ideas that I have over the last couple of years and then didn't have the time for, I'm creating time for them now. So I'm in the studio, really looking forward to wrapping up installations that I've been working on for a couple of years and some woodcut prints that I also been working on for a while now. These are the things I'm excited about bringing out. So I'm just working on them slowly. And we will get there when I'm done. And in between also, I go back to canvas and I'm bouncing in between. It's just that being in this space where I can bounce between 3 to 4 different surfaces at the same time, I'm really enjoying it. Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah, that's what I'm really excited about right now. So yes, when it is time, a lot of those things are not things that I'm ready to share yet. It's just in the building process. And for me, it's more important to do that rather than rush work and bring them out. So I'm not in a hurry. I'm just taking my time to do them the way I want.
Well, I look forward to seeing them. I've really enjoyed our conversation, and this is the last question. So, as an artist, what is your role?
As an artist, my role is to bring my ideas to life as honest as I can. And be true to it as I can and just make them the way that I always wanted and be true to myself. And I think that's the purest form of art. And when it is done, it's for me to share it with the world. I think that's my role as an artist. That's all that I am to the world right now.
Well, my final word will be, it's wonderful to connect with you because you're so passionate about the work you do. And
thank you.
This has been a great experience for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You are a wonderful person. Thank you for having me today.
My pleasure. Thank you for listening to Cerebral Women Art Talks podcast. For additional content, please visit cerebralwomen.com and be sure to follow Cerebral Women on Instagram.